In the midst of this global crisis, the voices for justice are revealing what really matters. It is time for Planetary Makeover. Here we feature solutions and modern miracles in documentary videos that offer hope for our future and remind us all of our spiritual source. Long ago, it was forecast that at this time in history, extraordinary teachers, including the World Teacher, would emerge to help us as we build a world that works for everyone. Now, here's your host of Planetary Makeover, Mr. David Minot.
Welcome to another episode of Planetary Makeover. This episode entitled, Maitreya is Here, Improbable Events and the Undiscovered News, is a video of a live, on-the-air radio interview of Francis Oman, one of our producers, by Vicki Leeds of The Vicarious Traveler, broadcast on KWMR Radio in West Marin County, California, in which Frances will discuss her documenting of miracles and her experiences of them. As always, at Planetary Makeover, we're not here to convince you of anything. We only ask you to consider, with that rarest of human attributes, a truly open mind, what could be a world, a beautiful new world, emerging now of justice, equality, truth, synthesis, peace, love, ecological restoration, world peace, in which the world will retain the best of the old while embracing the best of the new. And so to help accomplish this seemingly impossible task, we assert and demonstrate always that humanity has help of an extraordinary kind. And this is in the guise of a world teacher who will help us to inspire these truly amazing futures, which at the present time might seem impossible to some. This newly emerging world teacher for all of humanity is a spiritual teacher, not a religious teacher per se, so that he can represent everyone. However, this figure has been prophesied for thousands of years by all of the major religions of the world. For the Christians, it's the Christ. For the Jews, it's the Messiah. For the Muslims, it's the Imam Mahdi. For the Hindus, it's the Kalki Avatar. And for the Buddhists, it's Maitreya. They got the name right. However, Maitreya is coming not as a religious figure, as I said, not as a Buddhist or Hindu or Christian or Muslim or Jewish, but as a world teacher and an educator in the broadest sense for everyone. Everyone from the fundamentalists to the atheists and the agnostics. He and his group, the Masters of Wisdom, are here for the people, not for the religious, governmental, or religious institutions. And this emergence of Maitreya and the Masters is considered the most important event in human history. None of those old groups that are still ongoing can claim him. He has said that if you try to parade me, you will lose me. If you put me in your pocket, you will never find me. That's why he's here for the people and isn't looking for followers. He and the Masters don't want you to believe in them. They want you to experience yourself, which they will help you do through principles such as honesty of mind, sincerity of spirit, and detachment. And Maitreya is also, it's important to point out, an avatar, wielding energies in combinations that have never been demonstrated before on this planet. Because as great as he is, he's overshadowed, excuse me, I get choked up just thinking about it, by avatars even more advanced than him, who are expressing energies such as peace and equilibrium, synthesis, and energies that we don't even have a name for. Not yet, anyway. So the planet and humanity is entering a new age, the Age of Aquarius, which you heard mentioned in a pop song back in the 60s, which may make some of you chuckle. The dawning of the Age of Aquarius, that was called. This is the Age of Aquarius now. Each of these ages lasts approximately 2,150 years. We just came out of the Age of Pisces, inaugurated by the historical figure we know of as Jesus in Palestine 2,000 years ago. Now, in this age, we have a world teacher coming to us in person, not just sending one of his representatives, such as a Buddha or a Muhammad or a Jesus, but appearing in the flesh himself with his group, the Masters of Wisdom. And as I said, inaugurating this new age known as the Age of Aquarius. Now, these are based on astronomical facts, not astrological, although the two-word moniker assigned to these signs is apropos. For Pisces, it's I believe. For Aquarius, it's I know. So we're coming out of the age of belief into the age of knowledge. And for this reason and many others, people need to see proof of these great teachers, not just hear about them from the philosophers or the religious teachers of the time or of the past or even the politicians. They want to meet them and hear from them themselves. Now, writings about Maitreya and the Masters of Wisdom have been in evidence for thousands of years as well, but more in the open in modern history, beginning in the 1870s with Madame Blavatsky and the Theosophical Society. Later on, by Helena Roderick, that's it. And after that, Alice A. Bailey, and then most recently, Benjamin Krem. Now, their writings, as well as the words of the masters and Maitreya themselves, are meant to stimulate our minds as well as our intuition. Just reading it or listening to recordings of it is transformative, but it does this in a way that does not interfere with our free will. You are free to accept it or dismiss it. If it has the ring of truth for you, fine, you can let it in. If not, feel free to disregard it or watch and wait for more tangible proof. So in this interview, both Vicki Leeds and Francis Oman will take us on a journey through some astounding events that are taking place now and which are sort of signposts along the way pointing to the emergence of Maitreya, the world teacher, and his group, the Masters of Wisdom. So join me while I listen in.
This morning, I'd like to welcome a very special guest, Francis Oman. Good morning, Francis.
Good morning, Vicki.
Thank you for coming to Point Reyes this morning. Francis is an investigative journalist, author, artist, and documentary producer. And she is in the midst of completing her newest documentary, Countdown to Now, Quantum Leap for Planet Earth. So, Francis, for over 30 years, you've been investigating and documenting improbable events, many of which are considered miracles. You worked as a consultant for Miracle Quest, a series which aired on the Discovery Channel, and the phenomena that you have investigated is quite diverse. Would you please tell our listeners about some of your earlier projects, maybe starting with Crosses of Light?
Yes, Crosses of Light began a couple of decades ago. these beautiful, glowing, holographic crosses appeared in windows in East LA, in the Hispanic community there, and people were reporting having miraculous healings and so on. So I hot-footed it down to Los Angeles from the Bay Area and actually moved down there and even tried to learn Spanish. I speak fluent French and Italian, so Spanish wasn't too much of a challenge. And I almost moved into the community. Just, I really become part of whatever it is that I'm documenting. Well, my background is as a journalist and as an artist, so I have sort of the visionary part of my being, but I also am very committed to the facts.
And what are some of the other projects that you've worked on prior to the countdown coming out?
One was the miraculous healing from AIDS. A man named Bill Tritt was in the hospital dying with AIDS. He was down to 89 pounds. He was blind. And the doctor said he had maybe 2-3 days to live. And at that time, and you'll see a thread through everything that I've done in these documentaries, interestingly enough, much of what I've done, almost everything that I've done, leads back to a very interesting phenomenon, which is the emergence into the world of the future Buddha. The future Buddha was foretold by Gautama Buddha to come at the beginning of the New Age, and his name would be Maitreya. Well, Maitreya has been emerging over the last couple of decades into the world, is now in open view in the world. But 20 years ago, when I was interviewing Bill Tritt, Maitreya was still quite hidden, but he was performing miracles and doing things that would start to bring attention to the possibility that he was in the world. And he gave Bill Tritt a vision while he was in the hospital, an extraordinary vision. I mean, it could have had a full feature movie, which in my dreams I would love to have gone to that length. But anyway, long story short, he had a vision. He woke up in the hospital. He could see. He called his nurse. He says, "I don't have HIV. I don't have AIDS. I'm fine." And often people get delirious when they're about to die. And the nurse said, "Yeah, Bill, that's yeah, we understand." he said, "Test my blood and test it now." And he insisted, and they tested it. There was no trace of HIV, no trace of AIDS. And I have a beautiful documentary interviewing him and with him talking about how you can't just accept what the medical pundits say. And you have to rely on something within yourself and be open to something improbable happening. And I think that's a stream of approach that I have through everything. Is if I have a mission, it's to bring improbable facts about it, things that seem to be improbable, to the attention of people so that they can have the experience of seeing what their own preconceptions are and then maybe moving into something new. That's why this new film that's almost finished, Quantum Leap for Planet Earth, is the subtitle. It's like, how can we make a shift, a whole paradigm shift, not just as individuals, but also as the whole planet, into some kind of a new paradigm? I mean, is it possible to have something as improbable as no more hunger? No more war? Well, everybody knows there's got to be poverty, there'll always be war. Really? Well, with what I've seen and the experiences that I've had of great beings and the miracles that I've documented, and fortunately for me, many of the miracles that I've personally experienced convince me that anything's possible. And so that's my mission, is to bring that out. But I was trained initially as an artist. Do you know? I mean, you start every painting with a blank canvas. And I'm also a 30-year meditator. And the idea of getting yourself to that place of nothing actually involves heightened awareness of all of, whatever you want to call them, your own delusions, your own glamours, your own made-up things that were your responses to circumstances. And so
I've made it a point to be as aware as I can of my incredible frailties and opinions and inability to approach something with a blank canvas. Luckily, that helps.
And how do you conclude whether miracles are real or not?
Well, I'm not the Pope. If I were the Pope, I would say you have to have 3 miracles. If you have 2, you can't be a saint. But if you have 3, you can be a saint.
And only that's dependent on a variety of things. I recently read a book about saints and you know, tracking those miracles down.
Yes. However, I have a difference of opinion on many things from the Pope. But one of them is that when I investigate and I look at some improbable, inexplicable situation, and I say to myself, most of us are deluded, and this one in Countdown to Now, I look into crop circles and UFOs and all kinds of other things. So I look and see, is there any other explanation? So I go to scientists, I go to doctors. In Crosses of Light, so many people were healed from these beautiful glowing crosses. I would march to the doctors with them. You know, I got all of their statistics. I had a consulting doctor on the team. I talked to scientists who could tell me about light refraction and diffraction and all that. And so I would say for every, boy, I don't know, I've never figured it out. I know I've got something like 25 hours of tapes for Countdown to Now of my initial footage, and that at the moment it's about 45 minutes. It may end up being a little longer, but I weed through the least anything that's at all suspect and take only things that are quite definitely not to be discounted by science.
So it sounds like what your inspiration is a planetary consciousness and really encouraging and making it available for people to look at things with an open mind.
Well, yes, an open mind. what a challenge, you know? I mean, later on I can go into a little bit more detail about who Benjamin Krem is. When he speaks, whether he's talking about UFOs or Maitreya Buddha or whoever he's speaking about, he always prefaces it with, I hope you will not take what I'm saying as dogma, as truth, but that you look at it with the rarest of human tools, a truly open mind. And it is rare.
You're listening to KWMR 90.5 and 89.9 on your FM dial. My name is Vicki Leeds, the host for The Vicarious Traveler, and my guest today is Frances Ullman, quantum artist and documentary filmmaker. And we are heading towards discussing her new film, Countdown to Now, Quantum Leap for Planet Earth. This is all working up towards that. So a lot of the research that you do are about things that aren't commonly written about by the press, or as you called it, the undercovered news. I like that expression. So, Frances, would you please tell our listeners about some of the extraordinary things that you have investigated recently? Let's start with crop circles.
Yes. Well, crop circles are interesting. When they first began to hit the news...
When was that?
Oh my goodness, they've been really in the news more or less for 25 years, but particularly in the last 15 to 20 years. And early in this, there was a huge media stir in Great Britain that the crop circles, which appeared for the most part in the beginning, all in England near Stonehenge. And by the way, I'll get to that later, but the Maitreya, his headquarters is in London, and that's part, there, all these ends ended up being all connected with each other. But in any case, the first ones were happening in that area, and they were quite simple circles or 2 or 3 circles. And the BBC and other media in Great Britain revealed the hoax of the crop circles. And as I talk to people about them, everybody says, yes, I know about crop circles, they were a hoax. Well,
I cannot verify this as a documentary maker, but rumors from many sources, as I investigated this, said that the government or the BBC or somebody like that had paid two men, Doug and Dave, to fake crop circles. So they got boards and ropes and they, you know, made these circles in the crops. Well, since then, the crop circles have gotten more and more complex, more and more beautiful. They've been documented to appear within seconds. Some of them are very high. Scientists and mathematicians recognize mathematical formulas, shapes that are mathematical formulas, and extremely beautiful and playful. And some of them are kind of like the local one that I saw.
The one that is in your, I've seen a rough cut version of Countdown to Now on the crop circle in there is absolutely gorgeous. It's extraordinary.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell people about that?
Yeah, it was interesting because I was at home and I had become very interested in these crop circles. And a friend of mine called me on her cell phone and said, I think I found a real one. I think I found a real one. And so she got out of her car and she said, I'm walking through this wheat field. And she said, there seems to be this circle or something. And she said, here it is. She said, it's like 3 feet wide. And she walked across and she said, here's another one. And, oh, there's a huge one. She was so excited. And I said, okay, you've got to get up in an airplane to see this. So I said, call my friend Ron, who I had trained in video, and I knew he had a camera. So I said, get Ron, go up in an airplane and get pictures of this thing. So I show the pictures in the documentary. And it showed the sense of humor of whoever or whatever is making these, because here was this fabulous diagram of several different crops, very circles and designs. And from one side of it, several teensy-weensy little 3 foot crop circles marched over to the power lines as if it was, you know, plugging into the power. It was really amazing. So,
and there weren't any apparent footsteps leading to
No, as she went in, she looked all over. She said, when I walked through the wheat field, I crushed down the wheat, and there were no other footsteps out there. In fact, the farmer was quite disturbed by the whole thing. And luckily, we got this beautiful footage.
What happened to the crop circle?
The farmer mowed the whole thing down to the dirt. And we have actually
almost
footage of that. Yes, immediately. It's like within... my friend got photographs of it to the press, and so it was in the press, and it's been in many of the crop circle books, but that was it.
In your film, you tie in crop circles, UFOs, and spirituality. Can you talk about that a little bit, please?
Well, humanity has developed a whole lot of religions, and as I had referred to, many prophecies about some future coming person. In my own personal experience of spirituality, in becoming a more spiritual person, I've talked before about the challenge of becoming aware of what's already in my mind, in my personality, so that I can then put that aside in the esoteric terms, experience renunciation, detachment, so that I can be open to something higher. And I have determined that the UFO sightings, the crop circles, may well be something on a much higher spiritual plane that we're connecting with. Benjamin Krim, in December of 2009, sent out a press release from Share International, and people can go to that website. It's www.share-international.org. So I think that for us as humanity, to open up to our highest spirituality, we have to see what we already think we know. And so that's a daily thing for me as a journalist. And yet I'm an artist and a meditator. So I have a lot of very outside-the-box experiences that confirm to me a very definite spirituality that's very alive in my life. But the facts, I want to get the facts. So how these have to do with spirituality is that in the first place, opening our minds to things that we may not have been open to before opens us up to our own creativity and to our own sense of intuition and power to create reality. So many of the spiritual teachers these days are saying, we create our own reality. Well, what is that? And if that's so, how do we do it? What does it take to actually have a world that lives up to the values and principles that we have? I mean, thou shalt not kill. You know, feed my sheep. You know, feed each other.
Well, when I talked to you earlier, you said, and I'll quote, that you talked about a shift into a new paradigm for the whole planet, and you said something about a peaceful revolution of consciousness. Francis, I just want to, I did a little bit of looking up Maitreya, so I'd like to share that with the listeners. So the name Maitreya is derived from a Sanskrit word meaning loving kindness. And in India, they've believed in a Buddhist Maitreya for the last 2,500 years. According to Buddhism, Maitreya will be the fifth Buddha of the present eon, and his arrival will occur after the current Buddhist teachings are no longer meaningful, communicated, or they're completely forgotten. So that kind of doesn't go with the present Maitreya. But they figure that's going to happen another 30,000 years. Maitreya is the name for a person of religious stature who will be the answer to the world's quest for peace. There have been many self-proclaimed Maitreyas over the years, the first ones recorded as early as the 3rd century CE. He's been expected for generations by all the major religions. As you mentioned, Christians know him as Christ and expect his return. Jews await him as the Messiah. Hindus look for the coming of Krishna, or Kalki Avatar, an incarnation of Vishnu. And Muslims anticipate him as the Messiah. So Share International equates Maitreya with the prophesized figures of multiple religious traditions, claiming that Maitreya, also known as the world teacher or just the teacher, is already present in the world. And this Maitreya has not come as a religious leader, but rather as an educator in the broadest sense, pointing the way out of humanity's most critical problems. So this Maitreya doesn't claim to be a religious leader, but rather an advisor, guide, and teacher. He guides, and we have to, you know, pick up the pieces and save the world ourselves. So current Maitreya, besides teaching humanity the art of self-realization, which includes honesty of mind, sincerity of spirit, and detachment, has prioritized an adequate, healthy food supply, as well as housing, healthcare, and education for all. Share and save the world is a quote, and is his social message. To create a civilization based on sharing economic and social justice, freedom and peace, as well as global cooperation. So apparently also Maitreya is also encouraging protest. And unfortunately, many of the current protests aren't peaceful.
Yes.
So would you like to speak with this and
yes,
talk more about Maitreya? And
very much so. First, as to the Buddhist teachings and also as Bible teachings, as many students of scriptures of different traditions know, that much of these things that have been written down were written down by human beings who made their own interpretations and their own guesstimates about when things were going to happen. So who knows? The other thing I wanted to say was that Maitreya, or the world teacher, he prefers just to be known as the teacher. He has been speaking in London. He appears usually as a Muslim and speaks in the mosques. But he's now appearing all over the world in many other guises. He's able to change his form and appear very often as a homeless person, people of many different colors, and many people have had amazing experiences of being with him. And you'll see, I'm getting to the protests to answer your question. But when, for any of the listeners who've ever had an experience of a great being, if you've ever been in the presence of Muktananda or Guru Mai or the Dalai Lama or anyone of that, or Sai Baba, there's an extraordinary experience of peace. It's like the eyes of the window are the windows of the soul. There's something that happens that is such extraordinary love that for those who've experienced that, they've never experienced anything like that ever in their life before. So when Maitreya takes various different forms, people are having that experience. So suddenly someone will see a homeless man who will say something to them that's so pertinent to their life that how could that guy know? And look them in the eyes and they have that kind of overpowering experience that's life-changing and that may even have a message in it for them personally. Maitreya is doing that all over the world. So, you know, the listeners, be awake. Notice who you might run into and what might happen because this is one of the ways that he's coming into the world. Now, Maitreya has said that this revolution of consciousness, this is my words, this revolution of consciousness is going to be a peaceful revolution. And it's going to require the power of the people. That the people's voice is so much more powerful than the government's. The governments, the corporations, the institutions even of medicine, education, social services, they're crystallized into an old, unworkable form. They are actually crumbling. We're band-aiding our economic situation, and one of Maitreya's predictions has been that we're going to have a huge crash and that we will have to learn how to live simply, which of course was one of the Buddhist teachings. So Maitreya does appear at almost all of these protests, and he said that the people will be rising up against their governments. And so what's been happening in Cairo and even today, two of my friends are off at protests, I know, and Maitreya has said repeatedly, people do not realize that we are all gods and that together we are God and that what we intend for the world we can make happen if we work together. And so he's very big on everybody getting out and protesting.
Is there any last thing you'd like to say?
I just want to acknowledge everybody who's listened all the way to the end of this for their incredibly open minds. I will probably go off the air and go, oh my God, did I really say all that? So just thank everybody for taking your own quantum leap into the possibility of a new paradigm, no hunger and no war.
Special thanks to Vicki Leeds of the Vicarious Traveler Show, KWMR Radio. Music composition by Lon Locks, Growing Creations of Love. Well, I hope all of you found that inspiring, enlightening, uplifting, energizing, because I think that is the point of all this information. And hopefully we'll hear more about this in future episodes. But before we go into reviewing that video, let me just mention a couple of things that are important to us here at Planetary Makeover, and which you may find of interest as well. One of them is Transmission Meditation, and here's a book on the subject by Benjamin Krem. And we'll talk about where you can get those later as well. It's a stepping down of the great cosmic energies that flood into our planet from extraplanetary and cosmic sources. The Masters of Wisdom, whom I've mentioned, are the custodians of these energies. And humanity does a stepping down of them, like energy, electricity, coming in from the power lines outside your house and into your home. If they came in at full strength, they'd blow out all the fuses. So the transformers have to step it down. In this way, you also help step down these great energies so they can be absorbed by all the kingdoms on the planet, mineral, plant, animal, human, and help humanity progress in its evolution. It also is known to have a healing effect. Healings have occurred during transmission meditation. We ourselves do not direct the energies. The masters do that. But by allowing those energies to pass through our chakras, it raises our own vibration and speeds up our own evolution. And I think in the future we should have a show devoted just to that. Another thing I'd like to mention, get rid of the book here, is Share International Magazine. Here's the May 2021 copy. And this is put out by Share International with no advertising and has a lot of fascinating articles on both the esoteric issues that we've discussed and their relevance to current world affairs in a very insightful and in-depth fashion, which I think you'll find fascinating. Now, back to the video itself. You saw where Francis mentioned the holographic crosses of light. I have a picture of one of them here. Not the one from the video, but this one is actually seen in Russia, but they are very similar. And also the crop circles that were also mentioned. And hopefully, looking at this, at these, you've seen some of these yourself. She went on to mention the man that had been given a vision of Maitreya and then had been cured of AIDS. And once again, when we talk about reviewing the information yourself, seeing if it makes sense to you, checking in with your own intuition and so on, the doctors verified it. The patient insisted, and they found out that he indeed had seroconverted and was now HIV negative instead of positive, a truly miraculous event, one which we hope is repeated across the world and very soon. Francis also reminded us in regard to these miracles to be open to our own intuition and to the miracles that are occurring around us. They're occurring around you. And when your intuition and your mind are open, it's easier to interpret these signs and find out what they mean for you as well as the world. And the idea was that through these events, we can bring the seemingly improbable to the public's attention. This is very important to get it in the forefront of mankind's consciousness in order that the masters can come closer to us without infringing upon our free will. And in addition to that, Francis also pointed out how this can shatter some of our some of our preconceptions about the state of the world. War, poverty, disease, injustice, environmental degradation, and so on. And the notion that these can be reversed. And Francis mentioned how she had experienced miracles personally. And as he said before, when did you do the same? Can you recall? Think about it. Reflect on that. Meditate on it. And look for signs around you. You may well find them. Vicky asked Francis, well, how do you know these signs? How do you know these miracles are real, are legitimate? And again, you give the example of the doctors with the AIDS patient. They did a test and verified it. And as I mentioned, you can verify things in your own life. Don't believe us. Trust yourself, your intuition, and the answers will come to you from the inside out. And the crop circles that were mentioned were a good example of the seemingly improbable and miraculous. Francis had mentioned how governments had paid farmers to tear them down. This is going on in Britain to this day. They pay farmers to mow down the crop circles that appear and occur in their fields. Some do, and some have refused to. And then, of course, her cute story of her friend who found a crop circle and how its design seemed to playfully interact with the nearby power lines. Shows you that the creators have a sense of humor. And discuss that, the creators of the crop circles would be a whole nother show, which we certainly must do as well. We have mentioned it in past shows, but you may not have seen all of them, so we'll certainly do so again in the near future. And I know that Vicky, too, asked Francis, well, the connection between the crop circles and spiritualities and the many religious predictions that we also mentioned. And we are thinking, we seem to have some clues, some hints, some intuition that there is some kind of connection between the two. This is sort of their calling card. And that these crop circles are a phenomena from a higher plane that's sort of been stepped down to ours. Much like the description of transmission meditation and stepping down the energies. This challenges our preconceptions about our own world as well. And the issues that we mentioned just a few moments ago. War versus peace, starvation versus a satisfied need, injustice versus justice, greed versus sharing, and hate versus love. All of those negatives can be transformed into the positives that were mentioned right alongside them. And then I know Vicky also said that in her research about Maitreya, it seemed that he encouraged the rise of people power and of protests to go along with the people power, but that they weren't always peaceful. And as you saw, Francis addressed this question, and she was saying that Maitreya and the masters are stimulating humanity to peace, to love, and to justice. And their energy is coming down again through these planes down to the dense physical where we reside. And sometimes a bit of that is lost in translation. And also, humanities have their own glamours and illusions, and they misinterpret the energy sometimes, or they become overly emotional and express it in ways that may be inappropriate. But for the most part, the people have responded, in the vast majority of cases, positively and appropriately to these energies from Maitreya and the masters. It's the status quo, the establishment, the governments, and the police who have responded inappropriately and violently attacked protesters, who then, in some cases, defended themselves, and then the media would portray it as a riot. And in this way, it would seem to nullify some of the importance and meaning and purpose of the protests. But in the end, the people prevail, and I think the word is getting through, and the propaganda by the police and the governments is not blunting the message and the purpose and the outcome, the proper outcome of the protests. So these institutions are as well disintegrating because the energy that supported them has been withdrawn, referring back to the Piscean energy mentioned earlier. This is their last stand. They're in love with the future, or I should say, the people are in love with the future. The status quo is in love with the past. They're afraid of the future, which is why they attack the protesters and all sorts of progressive movements. Their time has come to an end. And the time of the people, the time of people power, and the progressive ideals that we have mentioned to, as Maitreya once said, to anchor these beckoning stars in the earth, has come. Peace, love, synthesis, justice, ecological restoration, justice and equality, education and health care for all, a living wage, ample leisure time, and so on. Because the people can't live properly if they don't know where they came from, why they're here, and where they're going. If we don't know the purpose of life, how can we live properly? How can we interact properly? And this is an age in which we are learning what the true purposes of life are. And Maitreya and the masters are helping us by acting as teachers in that regard. Where we came from, why we're here, and where we're going. So, in conclusion, though of course this conversation is not over by any means, I'd like to assert and state that people power will prevail. It is the new world superpower. And as Ben has said, Benjamin Krem, and Maitreya might have as well, I'm not certain, there is no power on this planet that can stand against a properly educated, motivated electorate and people. So we will prevail. Now, there is another side to that too. We can't just sit back and wish everything into reality. As Maitreya has said, man must act and implement his will. Nothing happens by itself. And that's what all of this work is about. Now, you may ask, how can you get more involved and get this information out to the people? Well, one of the places you can visit is share-international.us. And you can also, in regards to transmission meditation that I mentioned, visit transmissionmeditation.org. And also to get more books by Benjamin Krem on the subject of Maitreya and the Masters, you can also get DVDs as well. You can go to share-ecart.com. That's share-ecart.com. share-ecart.com. We hope that you've enjoyed this presentation and were inspired by it to learn more, to think more, to intuit more, and to continue your journey miraculously into this wonderful new dawn that awaits us all. And we will see you there in the next episode of Planetary Makeover. Thank you for listening. Visit us on Facebook at #PlanetaryMakeover. This show has been a production of planetarymakeover.org. At our website, we have a link to our bi-weekly live show at 5 p.m. Mondays, Western Time, and 8 p.m. Eastern Time. At our website, we also have a link to our archives and a selection of our shows. For more background info, visit www.shareinternational-west.org. That's shareinternational-west.org. For related books and DVDs and CDs by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of Maitreya, the world teacher, please go to share-ecart.com. That's share-ecart.com.